Blog Talk Radio.
All right, fans, here we go. 4 2-minute rounds of boxing scheduled. Women's in the ring.
Fans, here we are again in our sixth episode of the 2-minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. I am your co-host Felipe Leon from fightnews.com, and on the line as well, like always, is co-host David Avila. David, how are you doing today?
Very good, Felipe. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you for asking. And as well, you know, the belle of the ball, and who I consider the superstar of the show, Miss Elena Baby Doll Reed. Elena, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Very happy to be here. Can't wait for the show.
Thank you, Elena. So here we are, 2-minute round, our sixth episode. We've done this. This is going to be the sixth time. We have a chock-full show for you guys where we're going to go over the past fight results of the last couple weeks of news and our upcoming schedule, but as well, we're going to have a very special interview with former light flyweight champion and superstar Daisy Lang, and she should be calling in the next 15 or 20 minutes. So before we get there, why don't we go over a little bit of the fight results?
Absolutely.
All righty. So starting up on Friday, May 20th, from Caucasia, Colombia, Diana Cordero stopped Mexican Maribel Ramirez in the seventh round of a Schedule 10 for the interim WBA bantamweight title. Ramirez was down in the first and the third. And I don't know if you guys heard about this, but it looks like there was a little bit of controversy. I guess Ramirez was put down pretty hard, and she actually spent some time unconscious on the ring. Later it was found out that she hadn't fought in over a year, and she only had a very short notice for this fight. So a lot of people were complaining about that.
Yeah, that is a bad situation, especially since it's for an interim title. I mean, you would figure there would be somebody that's primed and ready to accept that kind of task against somebody like Diana Cordero. But I'm kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, and, well, you know, she defended the title. Maribel Ramirez, I mean, I guess, like many fighters, probably went out to Colombia fighting for a world title and to make a little bit of money. But unfortunately, sometimes when that happens, you know, tragedy can happen. Thankfully, it didn't happen this time, but it got pretty hairy there.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Moving on to... Go ahead, Elena. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I mean, it's just another, you know, where was the commission on this one? And I guess you're right. You know, these things do happen, but I think it's they should put some spotlight on the commission for letting that happen.
Yeah, you know, and also I believe that also some of the blame has to go with the WBA because, you know, you could only go on BoxRec and see when's the last time they fought, and maybe they didn't know that she was getting called on short notice, but at least they shouldn't have maybe accepted this Maribel Ramirez to fight Diana Cordero for the title. So that might be some of the blame as well there. On Saturday, May 21st, in Richmond, California, from the Richmond Memorial Auditorium, we had Casey Morton win a unanimous decision against Canadian Peggy Mars in the five-rounder at flyweight. Scores were 50-45 three times. Remember, we spoke about this last show that it was kind of interesting that California was accepting a five-round bout, which is something that we don't see that too often. And as well, on the same card, a middleweight, Raquel Miller, made her pro debut, stopping Sara Flores, a fellow first-timer, in the first round of a Schedule 4. Raquel Miller kind of has a little bit of fame out there. She is, I think she is a pretty high regarded amateur, but she finally decided to go to the pros. And at middleweight, like what we discussed with Maricela Cornejo and Callie Reese a couple of shows ago, is that it's very easy to get a title shot early on with not that many fights because of the lack of competition in those weight classes. So Raquel Miller probably has a good chance in the next year possibly fighting for a title. And I would believe so because her manager is none other than Luigi how do you pronounce the last name, David?
Olcesi.
Olcesi. Luigi Olcesi.
Olcesi or Olcesi.
Yeah, so he's her manager, so it's so I'm sure that he's a mover and shaker, so I'm sure that he's going to be able to get her some good fights and make something happen for her.
Yes.
Well, on Wednesday, May 25th, from the Diamond Court in Beijing, China, at the IBF 33rd Convention, Zhong Yukai, and I hope I'm pronouncing that name right, Zhong Yukai, scored a unanimous decision in a 10-rounder over Samson Tor Buamas for the vacant IBF Intercontinental strawweight title. Scores were 100-90 and 99-91 two times. So it sounds like she completely dominated that bout. But the quick note about that is that more than 200 million viewers watched this on Chinese TV to a packed house. So that kind of says something, doesn't it, Lena, that a female fight was able to be seen by so many people?
Yeah, no, I've seen it all over social media, to be honest with you, in the last week. So I think, I mean, it's not a surprise. It's just another example out there about the females are absolutely a draw and that they can make money for promoters. And, I mean, it's not the female fighters. There's not a lack of female fighters. There's just a lack of support out here in the U.S.
One thing about that fight is that Samson Tord Buamas, she had 41 fights. And wow. I find it kind of strange that she was dominated like that. She hadn't lost a fight in 4 years. So,
wow.
And 11 consecutive fights. So to me, it kind of tells me, really, she got dominated that easy? That girl only had 9 fights. I was like, suspect.
are most of her fights out there then? And did you look up her record?
Yeah. Zhang Jukai was 8-1. Samson Torwamas is 37-4. She's just a very good fighter. And to me, to get dominated like that, I got to see the tape. I hope there's tape. Especially if 200 million people saw it. I want to be able to see that, too.
It's got to be streaming somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
No.
It's perfect. Friday, May 27th, from Paris, France, Maiva Hamadouche, I don't know how to pronounce that thing, Hamadouche, stopped in 2 rounds, Enis Pacheco for the vacant WBC silver lightweight title. And I was reading something, some stuff about Hamadouche, and she's considered a very elite fighter. Somebody on social media actually called her the most, the best fighter that nobody's ever heard of as far as female fighting. And I kind of looked at her record, and she does have a good record. She only has one loss, and that came to the WBC current lightweight champion, Delphine Persoon, who is considered, if not the best fighter in the world, at least in the top three with Cecilia Breakhouse up there and Layla MacArthur.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody that we should keep an eye on is Maiva Hamadouche, and hopefully we can find some stuff on her online and take a look at how good she is. Because stopping Enis Pacheco in the second round, I mean, Enis Pacheco might not be, you know, the best thing since sliced bread, but if you're fighting for a title, you know, you should be hanging there for a little bit.
One thing I noticed is that France is really coming up on boxing. For the past 6 months, they've been having regular shows all over France. So that's one of those countries that you know is going to be coming up a lot, because this girl, Maiva Hamadouche, and you got girls like Anne-Sophie Costa fighting over there. And It's just crazy. They're really coming up.
That's true, and we are going to come up in the next result that I'm going to mention Saturday, May 20th, from Marne, France. Ana Sophie Da Costa got a unanimous decision over Soledad Macedo for the WBF light flyweight title. Scores were 99-91 two times in 98-92. And there's a couple other names out there also that have been making some waves in France. And going back to Hamadouche and Anis Pacheco, it's not that bad of a fighter, 15-4 with two draws, had some losses, mm-hmm. but has been in some okay fighter scenes from Venezuela, which is kind of questionable. But still, I mean, 15-4 and two, she has some experience and she got stopped in two rounds. So Hamadouche is showing some talent there. Another. Now that you mentioned it about France, David, and you know, as I'm compiling the fight results and doing the update, the upcoming calendar, a lot of action. I mean, obviously in Asia, in Japan, but a lot of action in the Eastern Bloc, or what
exactly.
used to be considered the Eastern Bloc,
yeah.
like Hungary and stuff like that. They're starting to have a lot of female fights.
Yeah, and they're not afraid to cross borders to fight, you know, each other. You have Belgium, France, Serbia, Romania. They're all fighting each other. Poland. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, so hopefully there's a good crop of fighters coming up, and maybe you know some of the fighters from out here get to go up there and fight over there, or vice versa, and then we can get some good competition and some good action.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, on the same night as when Anne Sophie Da Costa ended up defeating Soledad Macedo for that WBF light flyweight title, in Acapulco, Mexico, Lourdes La Pequeña Lulu Juarez, the younger sister, or one of the younger sisters of Mariana Baby Barbie Juarez, got a split decision over eight rounds over Suri Tapia, who was the local fighter there at light flyweight. One of the things here is that obviously she went up to an eight-rounder when we have actually mentioned here that she fights a lot of four-rounders even though she is close mm-hmm. to 20 fights. So now it looks like she went up to an eight-rounder. But by the looks of it, by the things that I was reading, is that the local fans who were obviously supporting Suri Tapia, who is from Acapulco, weren't too happy with the result. Mariana Juarez actually released a video on her Facebook page where she mentioned that, while she was heading back to the dressing room, she got assaulted and she got an elbow to the face by a disgruntled fan who called her all kinds of names and obviously mentioned that, you know, that Tapia had won that fight. And then later, I found out that Tapia in her Twitter account released a statement mentioning that no scores were announced at the end of the fight. Plus, she claims to have seen the scorecard and that she had won the fight. So she claims that the result was changed. So that is something, kind of bad. Well, not kind of bad. It's actually really bad that Juarez got hit by a fan. But the thing with the scorecards and all that, I don't know. I mean, Tapia being the local fighter and everything, the local commission should have been, you know, defending her or looking out for her best interest, being that she's from there. And if they're going to go along with Televisa or the promoter actually and change the scorecard, then that's not Juarez's fault, neither one of them, near Mariana's or the sisters.
Yeah, that's a serious charge. Scorecard.
Yeah, you know,
and that's very serious.
Yeah, I mean, if the scorecard showed Tapia winning and then they announced something else on TV, you know, I think the commission should be lodging a complaint because their integrity is being in question. Because very easily the announcer could say that Pequeña Lulu won, being that the announcer is hired by the promoter and the promoter is going to tell him what to say. But if that is the case, then I think the local commission, the Acapulco commission, or whoever was the commission, should be making it public that Tapia won and that it was changed.
Wow, that's crazy. I can see where they're going to have a riot or something over that.
Yeah, and too bad Mariana Juarez got the worst of that. But that brings us to the end of our fight results. A very slow last couple weeks in the female fight world. Here on the 2 minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. And while we're waiting for our special guest Stacey Lang to call in, we're gonna go a little bit to the female fight chatter and get some news. But it looks like as I think she heard us say that because she actually I think she's on the line right now. Let me bring her on.
Hello, everybody. I hear exactly what you say.
Hi, Daisy.
Hi.
Hi.
I hope you listening. Yeah.
Welcome to the 2 minute round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. My name is Felipe Leon. I'm one of the co-hosts. You obviously already know David Avila and Elena Baby Doll Reed. So with that said, I want to pass the mic to David and have him start our little conversation with you.
Daisy,
wonderful.
So what's your tell people what you're doing nowadays. People want to know. You were a star in Germany and Europe. So what are you doing nowadays?
You know, let me start with the star stuff. You know, I'm just a regular human being person. Achieve a lot in the boxing industry. What I'm doing in U.S. is, honestly, I enjoy my life more than before. I'm a businesswoman. Actually, my life before was very intense, connected with my professional career. And like everybody know, your personal life is too limited when you're in that level in sport. And actually coming to U.S. Suits me with the time when I retired from my professional stress for so many years. I was in love with the weather, with California, the sun, because we miss the sun in Europe, especially in Germany. And I just decided that's my country. I love to live here. I love the people. I love the many opportunity and the freedom that this country can give or gave to me, and I'm sorry, the word is so difficult to say, but you understand what I say. I stay here, I'm now my 11th year in U.S.
Wow, you know,
so
that is a long
I didn't
time.
Plan that. I just get fun for us. But I'm so happy to hear you, and I'm happy to hear also Lena Reed, and I had very... nice memory. I mean, and she's my friend. I'm so happy to hear you tonight and that we can have a nice conversation.
Oh, yeah. Elena, how did you meet Daisy? How did you guys get acquainted?
So Daisy obviously was very big in Germany. And so for one of her fight camps, I believe it was when she fought Regina Helmut, she came out to Vegas with her fight camp. And she needed sparring partners. And so it was the first time I've ever paid for sparring, which was amazing to me. But Bias Aganis, yeah, which was very nice. But Bias Aganis and I were her sparring partners for that fight. And so, I mean, you can't meet Daisy and not fall in love with her. So instantly you become friends. You know, she's so sweet, obviously, and was just a great person to know. So we really kept in touch. And then when I fought Regina Helmut, Daisy Lang was out there, you know, and so she was really one of the only people out there that I knew. So she was kind of around, and it was even a little bit of a controversy of her being friends with me because, you know, obviously she was from Germany at the time. So it was, you know, there's such superstars out there that it was kind of a big deal. And I understand that it was a big deal for me to be friends with her. So, and we've just never stopped being friends. So we try to, you know, watch each other on Facebook and just keep in touch. But I want to know, Daisy, are you still involved in boxing with anybody out in Europe, or are you involved in any way with boxing out here in the States?
First of all, I want to say thank you to you, Elena, and I will say enjoy the time with you, and you're a great person. I mean, everything what you say to me, I say glyphos to you. And one small correction about the fight with Regina, yeah, that In that fight, I was neutral. It was hard to me because, of course, Regina is a friend of mine, and we built together the popularity in boxing. And I say in fight, everything is possible to be. I'm happy that I saw this fight. It was a very good fight from both of you. But in that situation, for me, I couldn't say anything on which side I am because I love both of you, and I was very happy to meet you here, and also another girl who I spar with her. I'm sorry that I forget her name right now. She's a stunt woman. We had a great time in Sweetheart, and I really enjoyed the time in America. Unfortunately, I'm not very, very involved with what's going on now with the boxing in Europe. Sometimes I hear information, and what I see is another girl, Susie Kintikian, in your weight class, actually in the flyweight. She's a world champion, and actually she's the one who is very still active. And she's also a very nice girl, and I knew her when she was a child. She came to the gym, and I told when I gave interview that one day she will become a champion because I believe in her. So far, when I see on Facebook, she's still fighting, and she is a world champion and defend her title successfully. But honestly, unfortunately, I think that the time that we had when I competed, when Regina Ramos competed, it was completely different and better than now. And I'm very sad to say that, but women boxing is in different direction right now. I'm sorry to say that.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's why, you know, why we're trying to do this show. And we've all seen it. You know, female boxing has definitely taken a dip since the days that we were in boxing. And even I didn't make much out here, and I wasn't a superstar in the United States, but I still got ESPN time and Fox Sports time, and you just don't see that anymore. So I was asking if you're involved anymore. Do you think you will get involved someday? Do you think you would like to, you know, maybe to help promote women in one way or another? Or is that something that you're kind of looking past? Because I know obviously I watch you and you seem to have a fabulous and great life, but is that something that you would ever be interested in possibly?
You know, I want to apologize because the connection, I miss some of the words that you asked me because somehow, I mean, I'm in good space with a good connection right now, but could you repeat again your question, because I want to be sure that I understand right the question, because I missed it part of the question.
Oh, yeah, and let me ask it another way. And so you're right, and we have written about this, but you were one of the highest, or maybe you and Regina were the highest paid females probably in the whole world as female boxers.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. do you think female boxing will get back to that point?
If you ask me about now in the moment, I unfortunately will say it's not on that level right now. And I always believe and I keep positive because I'm sure that one day maybe that's going to happen the same way with the media presence, with the television, and it's going to be more positive and more supporter of women boxing, because you know from your own career it was very hard way to everybody. I will say I was very blessed and happy that I had the right management also in the right country to achieve my goals, because I also start with I'm coming from Bulgaria. I was born there. In that time it was a communist country, women didn't have rights. I mean, I start with dreams that nobody hear about women boxing, and I know exactly how hard it was for me to achieve my dreams to come true, and I achieved it in Germany, not in my country, unfortunately. Now I will say I'm interested in what's going on in Bulgaria, and I will say that there's some, even I saw some Bulgarian team, they're going to the Olympic, which make me happy that I see some activity possibility for women to do something and to achieve something in boxing. I see somebody behind me after everything what I did and make this way open for other women. I always hope that he also in America and everywhere in the world that women boxing will start to be more popular. And I feel really very sad that here there are not so many supporters in U.S. For women boxing.
Daisy, how did you start? How did you first see women's boxing? What started you in that direction?
Honestly, when I saw first time women boxing in U.S. and also I saw Christy Martin. I mean, she was the first woman, I think, so far that she started with boxing. And because I was involved with the martial arts, and I'm so kind of personality that when I achieve something in certain area, I lose the interest, I need to change the goals because that is the new goals fit me and I get ambitious. And I saw first time, wow, a woman can box, and I like it. And I said, wow, that's going to be my next goal. I mean, I want to do it. And also in my country, like I say, it was very hard time for women because women didn't have many rights to do anything else than to stay at home and take care of the children, which is also not bad. But in that time was absolutely taboo tema, one blonde woman to be in the men-dominated sports. And I try everything to give for myself, to try to represent Bulgaria, but everything was closed. The old ways were closed for me and for my future. It was no any chance that I tried to achieve from there. And because of that, like many other athletes, I went to other country, and I got the green light there for me. It was actually very hard to wait to achieve this goal too. But in Germany, they gave me green light and believed in me. And Germany became my second country that I achieved my goals. Of course, behind that, what I say, it's a lot of hard work, a lot of suffering, a lot of hunger, a lot of belief in that what I wanted to do. Nothing came from free in my life, to find people to believe in me and to invest money in me. And you needed to do by yourself, to promote yourself, which I see many women promote themselves here in U.S. too, because it's so hard to get investor and good manager to put them in the right place with the television, with promoter, with everything else. And I said, if I have the power, if I have the possibility to do that, I will make it happen. Doesn't matter which country I'm living.
What was your favorite fight, Daisy? What was the fight that you think about now and then? What was the biggest fight in your life?
My favorite fight is the fight with Lisa Foster. That was, she was American girl, African American, and we fought for my second belt. I'm a little confused with the weight classes right now, with bantamweight, which means 121 pounds. I think.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if that's bantamweight. In American, mm-hmm. I mean, it's bantamweight, probably. Maybe Elena can help me with the weight, because in America, I know they use different weight classes. But that was in 121 pounds, so far I remember. And I think she was an incredible boxer. And also, she was a world champion in featherweight. She lose weight. And I was a world champion in junior bantamweight in 115 pounds, and I get weight. We to meet in the middle because that was the chance we to make this fight. And I will say that this lady was so good. She moved like Muhammad Ali. And of course, when you have a very good opponent, you make a very good fight. And I was very proud to say that with this fight, we make women boxers more popular in Europe.
Wow, that's incredible. How many?
And I think she was from the East Coast. She was from East Coast, from I think in New York, so far I remember. I don't know where she is now. I really would like to meet her and to renew the contact, because after that we became friends. I mean, I always say when we fought, it was not a war. Most of the time we became friends with the opponent and we had a good contact, right?
What was the biggest crowd you fought in front of?
The biggest what?
A biggest crowd, the most fans you fought in front of?
I mean,
in terms
it
of
was,
attendance.
The big crowd, I fought in front of 20,000 people in the Cologne Arena, I remember, when I fought against Brenda Lee Burside. And they just built this arena, and I remember that Vladimir Klitschko also defended his title, and I won in that program, and that was, I will never forget the public, I will never forget the action there. It was amazing.
Yeah, I can understand that. When you fought in front of those big crowds, and then when you did you ever fight in front of a small crowd? Because I know in Germany it was very popular when you were fighting, you and Regina.
Yeah, I was a fighter, and actually. Doesn't matter where you fight. In that time, you were happy that you get opportunity to get you in the program and the television to be able to film your fight. Because it was very difficult time, David. I mean, I remember my manager needed to fight to do something for the promoter to bring me in the television, because the television didn't want it, woman boxing, and we started from there. I fought also in very small crowd in the gym in Hamburg. You know, we had a gym that we trained there, and in front of 2,000, 3,000 people. And I fought there because I make a fight to save the life of leukemia, blood cancer sick Anita, because I make that for her to find. We wanted to find a donor for the blood cells that she needed. And I make this fight for her because my heart was bleeding when I met her in some event, and she told me what she had. So we work with the blood cross, and I said I'm going to make fight in that gym because everybody who come to see me will give a blood, and so maybe it's more chance to helping Anita to find a donor. And I gave a blood when I finished the fight. And in that time, I didn't actually care how many people in front of I will box, how many people were there. I was happy that in that time there came around 5,000 people to help and to come to see the fight and, you know, and to helping her. And I feel enough happy when I won the fight, doesn't matter in front of how many people I box. You know?
That was an incredible event.
Yeah. You know what, Elena, no, it was a hard time. I mean, it was a hard time. Most of the women, you need to work different job to make meals for a living and to waiting for a chance, you know, to box somewhere because was no support, you know? So I was very happy that I was under contract from in that time, Universum Box Promotion. So I was able to live like a professional boxer from my career, not to working different jobs behind to make a live.
You were one of the lucky ones.
Oh, yeah.
Of course,
Regina,
you're lucky.
Yeah. I have a question. So this is my thought. So I know you and Regina, obviously you guys were lucky to have people behind you, but you guys were also such superstars in your own right. So here in the United States, right, in boxing, the promotions aren't popular, but the actual boxers themselves are popular. So when De La Hoya, when he was popular, right, boxing was popular because the world loved De La Hoya, or the world loved Mike Tyson. And just like Germany loved you and Regina Helmich. They love Daisy Lang and Regina Helmich. Do you think if there was to be other females that maybe were, you know, that people could fall in love with, do you think that female boxing would get just as popular out there again? Do you think the promotion would get behind them out there?
Look, I believe, and I'm always positive, Elena, because I will never stop to think positive in to the rest of my life about this. And I believe that one day the future will be better here in U.S. for women. The fact is that women boxing in the Olympics start to get popular, and it's I remember it's a lady that 2012 in London, the first American woman, like. Clarissa Shields or something like that was her name, that she won. Mm-hmm. And actually, this sport needs idols. And what that means for me is if there are more women, they're feminine, and they can really be a good fighter, good talker, because, you know, you need to have many quality of your characters. Then that's going to bring a lot of sponsors and the television interest to showing that. Because from other side, I don't want to offend any woman, but in business world, nobody want to see two men to fight each other, you know. And people want to see the woman to be more feminine. And I'm sure you're feminine, you're beautiful, and Leila Li, and Mia Sendran. I mean, women that look more sexy, feminine, they're better for marketing. I believe when so kind of women came and started to do that career, that's going to make boxing, women boxing more popular, like you guys. And I believe that with people like David, who supported all the time women boxing, they will grow. This will be not only one David or two David. I'm sure that that's going to bring more result in the future, and the people are going to get bigger. There will be not just one person, two person, three people. And that's why, you know, to be an idol is a hard work, because I needed to fight in that time, not just to be a good fighter, to make my weight, to focus on the sport part. I needed to fight against so many journalists, David. I was attacked. And because I studied medicine, because I always had a good argument about diseases, about breast cancers, always because of my knowledge of medicine, I got the right answers in that time. And so you win step, I won step by step many fans and many journalists to be on my side because of my negotiation skills, you know? And it's not just, I would say, important a woman to be a good boxer, to look beautiful. It's important how you market it yourself, how you talk, how you communicate with the people. Every fan is important. It's no question I don't have time to sign autographs. And it's a hard work because only to think about the sport and your diet is a very small part. I mean, that's not enough for marketing. You agree with me?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why also charity events, giving, not just taking for children on the street. I mean, I have it, even my manager says, how you get the energy for this? I say, I know what is hungry in my life, and I'm not coming from a princess family that everything was ready for me. I have to fight for my existence, and I always going to find time to support the children that don't have parents or they're living in shelter and there are so many sick people too with cancer, with so many diseases. And I say that every athlete who has the name needs to find time for this.
Absolutely.
That's really good advice.
Yeah.
What do you think, Felipe?
Yeah. Hello, Daisy. I have a question. You know, Elena has mentioned today, David has mentioned that you were a superstar in Germany along with Regina Hamlich. But, you know, as an advice, or what do you think was the number one reason of why you and Regina were able to reach that level of success in Germany? What is the one thing that you attributed to, in your opinion?
You know, I would say it's also a lot of luck, but first one actually was Regina Famous, that she started with boxing, and she was under contract from Universum Box Promotions, and I was the second one who came to the team, and I did sparring with Regina, and so I had a chance to be seen from the promoter. Also, I had my own management. That was a luck too, that somehow I met in the city that I lived in, Düsseldorf, and so the boxing promoter was in Hamburg, which is the north part of Germany. Düsseldorf is the west part of Germany. My own management actually gave me a chance to go, to be able to be there, and I was with one leg under contract with Universum, but with other leg, I had my own management who support me, and that also was very big help, but a lot of hard work. It is a big luck, and it was a luck for me to find the people or my management that they believe in me like a person that I'm able to achieve something that didn't exist. And because of Regina, first, because she became a world champion first before me, that was also another opportunity that the trainers in the Universum Box Promotion just told this girl can box, and because I box like a man, not like a woman, and I look very feminine, and they just saw opportunity for marketing because of my management too. And it was a very hard work in both fights. Then my trainer, Michel Tim, I was the first woman that he started to train, and it was a hard process we to commit together because he wasn't involved in the beginning to train a woman, and wasn't open for this. And we start from there. I was the only one woman there in the gym. And it was a lot of hard work from trainer, promoter, management, not just you like a person, and you like an athlete. So it was very hard way for Regina too, because she suffered in the same way like I suffered. And I just don't want people to think we are a superstar, because for me it didn't exist superstars. We were the pioneers. That is the better word to say. And when you get the risk, sometimes everything comes through, sometimes doesn't come through, but I always say that I am very happy with my choices. And even if I didn't achieve what I did in my professional career, I will be happy that I tried all opportunity to make it happen.
Very good. Well, with that said, any more questions, David or Elena?
What do you have, Daisy? Are you working on anything? I think I saw something where you were in a motion picture or TV or something. Are you working on something like that?
Yeah, you asked me in the beginning for this conversation what I'm doing in the U.S., and I told you I enjoy my life.
Okay, it's a secret.
What that means is I'm very blessed and happy because I believe in God, and that many opportunities came and they find it me without me to looking for. What I did, of course, after this big career, I came to the normal life in U.S. and I say, what is my next goal? What am I going to do? And of course, because I never had a regular life, that was very interesting goal for me. Welcome to the regular life, because I didn't have it that. But other side, I love it. I mean, you will laugh think I didn't know how I need to open a bank account, because I used to have a team that took care of me in Germany, and PR and people that took care of me, because you didn't have time to, I didn't have time to take care of everything. So I learned many things by myself with the help of my boyfriend and, you know, my friends, and I say it, from one side, it was difficult for me because I needed to learn to do everything by myself. From other side, I was happy because of the freedom feelings and say, that is mine. I did that. Nobody else. So I was more afraid, Elena, to go. Elena, I was more afraid to go to the bank. I remember that day, and I stayed in front of the door with a piece of paper. I barely speak few words in English, and my friends wrote me what I have to do. So, and I thought, oh my God. I mean, I was afraid. First day I didn't go. I get home because I didn't want people to think I'm not 5 years old child. I'm an adult woman, but they're going to think that I don't know simple stuff. But the second day I went, and everybody made jokes. They say, well, how you're not afraid to lose your life when you box, and you are afraid to go to the bank and open a bank account. I say, well, that is a different option for me because I never learned to do by myself this. And I would say what America gives to me is, and I'm very thankful that I learned to be by myself and to do not with a team together. And everything what I see here is also me, and I help a lot of people to promote boxing like a good way for mental and physical shape. I work with a lot of celebrities. Of course, the popularity in sports opened a lot of doors for me in the entertainment business. I've been in several movies. I still have some projects, 3 projects this year that I will be in some movies too and some commercial. And many things coming and going. And the good thing for me is that I have a choice to decide if I want to do it or not. Of course, some opportunity came out of country, so sometimes I'm flying out of country. But definitely, it's always something to do here in the U.S., and I'm very happy, and that's keep me to live here. You
know? I can't wait to see you in person then, Daisy.
Me
yeah,
too.
Absolutely.
Actually, I saw you the last fight, I mean, with Gennady Golovkin in the forum, you know, when we went. And also, remember, David, it was a woman fight before.
Exactly. It was a very good one,
so
too.
What are you going to say about this fight? I mean, you see that first time they give, it's actually not the first time. I saw another fight, from Golovkin, and it was a women fight there. I'm so sorry, I don't remember the name of the girls, but they did great fight. I saw the fight when Sugar Shane Mosley fought in the forum. Remember, I saw you there.
Yes. Yes,
and actually, the woman fight was much better than that other men fight.
Yeah, I agree. It was the best fight.
You were
very
there,
even.
Remember? And I will say, not because I like women boxing and support women boxing, because I'm honest, in the old program, that was the best fight. So which means it is a progress that they allowed women to fight there, right?
Absolutely. I hope that we see more of that. It looks like K2 promotions with Golovkin's team, they're willing to do it. And Shane Mosley, too. And hopefully it'll
open
the doors.
Yeah, Shane Mosley is a good friend. And actually, I remember his support to women boxing in the time.
Yeah.
Also, when Lucia Riker fought here, I mean, Christy, I mean, this, you all, Elena and whatever, in that time, he support women boxing. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a very strong supporter of women's boxing.
Yeah. Which means it is a progress, David. I mean, I always say never give up, right, my friend? That's so important.
Yes, that's very true. Very true. Never give
I
up.
I always say, you know what is my logo? When more positive people get in touch together, like we are right now, I mean, we get more stronger and we will make more people to believe to invest money in that sport.
I agree.
Yes. Yes, that's
right.
The key.
Well, Daisy, thank you so much for coming on today. It's just so nice to hear your voice. I always watch you on Facebook and have known you forever now, and I can't wait to see you in person as well. But I'm so happy that you're happy, and it's just, you're such a deserving person for everything that's happened. So, you know, if you ever come to Arizona, we'll definitely have to get together. Or if I'm ever out in L.A., I'll have to call you up.
For sure. I will really love to see you, Elena. I didn't see you a long time, and we stay in touch on Facebook. But I promise, whatever I'm in Vegas, and I'm going there, by the way, I will go. I will have some trips to Vegas this year, too. Definitely will make sure that we will see each other. and I would love to. And I thank you so much for the invitation for this wonderful conversation. And I'm very happy to make time to be there with you and support you.
Thank you very much, Daisy. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, David. It was a pleasure for me.
Yes, I'll see you soon. Definitely, we'll see you soon.
See you soon, and we'll stay in touch. And good luck with this wonderful show.
Thank you, Daisy.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And there you have it, folks. Daisy Lang, former multi-divisional champion from Germany, now making her home in Los Angeles and doing a couple things there. A little bit of a blast from the past. Great conversation, guys, and great information on Daisy Lang.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to say a couple words, and Regina Helmuth really was a first person, and I did actually meet her after fighting when I was up there, and she gave me advice, and Regina as well, she doesn't speak as great of English, maybe she does now, but she's also an outstanding and wonderful woman. But the reason Regina Helmuth actually got so much fame is that she was invited onto a talk show that's very popular out in Germany. And they kind of had, like, a little sparring match, her and the guy. And I believe, I don't think she knocked him out, but I'm pretty sure she punched the co-host on live TV and gave him a bloody nose. And so it launched her career, and that was kind of one of the bigger moments of Regina Helmuth, and to let her into superstardom, and it kind of just evolved from there. But, I mean, the thing I was asking is, because it was such a special time, does Germany still have that money behind women, and are they? I was trying to figure out, are they, you know, if there is women who are coming up that maybe are as marketable as Regina and Daisy were, I wonder if still have the money and fame that they had. Or if it was just a fluke. Hopefully it wasn't, but.
Based on what I've seen, they're still looking for another Daisy Lang and another Regina Helmuth. They're always searching for another two like them, but so far they haven't found anybody to match those women.
Well, I think that's at least hopeful, right, that they are still in support. Cause, I mean, like I said, that's the same thing here in the States and boxing all over the world, male or female, and I think that's the great thing about boxing, one of the things I love about it. It's not just boxing the sport, it's people that make the sport so popular. Like, people have to be in love with that athlete. You know, there has to be a lot of things other than just boxing that go on to make boxing popular at that time.
But it looks like unfortunately, the promoters out there are having some trouble supporting it. Like, you know, Cecilia Breakhouse contract with Universum, you know, ended, and she did not renew. She ended up starting her own promotional company and then kind of tying up with K2 Promotions. And I believe, like, Raja Mache, who is also from Germany, and Susie Kentenkian, I don't think they are getting the same support that they were getting some years ago from the promoters, and they're having a little bit more trouble getting dates and getting on cards.
Yeah, I don't think Universum, and I could be wrong, but in the last 10 years or so, doesn't seem as big as it was at that moment as a promotion.
Yeah, I think they're actually, they don't even exist anymore. Do they still, David?
Yeah.
I think they've had some problems. I'd have to look into it. I haven't really seen them on any big cards lately.
If anybody wants to call in and join us here on the 2-minute round, your hooks and jabs looks at the boxing, at the female boxing world, you can do that calling 347-215-7598, 347-215-7598. You'd like to comment on any of the fight results that we mentioned on our interview with Daisy Lang or anything that's upcoming, you can do that at 347-215-7598 here on the 2-minute round. Your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. Let's move on with a little bit of female fight chatter. And after signing former champions Kalisha West and Melissa Mogmoro to exclusive promotional contracts, Blueprint Boxing Promotions, a new company out of Northern California's Bay Area, continues by signing Patricia Juarez, the younger sister of Mariana Barbie Juarez. Patricia campaigns at lightweight and is 1-0 with her win coming with a unanimous decision over Jay DeHaas on April 30th in Colorado. You, David, that have known Mariana for quite some time and knew her when she was here in L.A., did you ever get to meet this other sister of his, of hers?
No, I never did. I only met Lulu. And at that time, I think Lulu was about 13 years old. But I never met the younger sister. And I didn't even know she was in Colorado. Is she in Colorado or Northern California?
Yeah.
One of the two.
I think she's based out of Denver, Colorado, and that's where she's going to be campaigning at. She's being trained by, I forgot the gentleman's name, but I believe that at one point he had also had trained Mariana.
Yeah,
and
she
he
lived
is
there
managing
for a little while.
In Denver, Colorado, Mariana did?
Yes, she did live there for a little while, for about a year, I think, maybe. Not too long. And then she went to Mexico City.
Wow. Well, there you have it. We'll see. Hopefully we get to see a little bit more of Patricia Juarez and this Blueprint Boxing Promotions, you know, starting it off with a bang, signing off former champ Kalisha West and Melissa McMorrow, and then also Patricia Juarez, who, you know, starting up at 1-0, but has a little bit of a marketing push there, being the sister Mariana Barry Juarez, possibly one of the biggest female boxing names in the sport right now. Speaking of Melissa.
I have a question.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Elena.
I've just seen some questions about the promotion. Do you guys know anything about the promotion? Are they just like a female promotion? Are they new? Have they been around? Or
they're brand new. I think he does have some male fighters, not too many, but yeah. I think it's a brand new promotion company. He used to be based in Las Vegas, if I'm not mistaken. But now he's based out of Northern California. They are going to have a fight for McMorrow up north. Kalisha, I just spoke to her last week. She didn't have anything signed as of yet for a fight, but she is in training already.
But that Melissa McMorrow fight, that's what I was going to touch on next. That was, as far as I know, and maybe he was negotiating with her and maybe he got her this fight. The gentleman's name who is running the promotional company, his name is Mac Roberts, and he was based in Vegas as far as I knew, and now it sounds like he's based out of Northern California, the Bay Area. But I don't know if Melissa McMorrow, because I've heard about this Melissa McMorrow fight for quite some time, that they were planning on doing it and everything, and I don't know if he was involved with that or he is involved with it now, but after it was first mentioned on our last episode by... What was the gentleman's first name, David? His last name was Cohen, the manager. Brian Cohen, after it was mentioned by him in our last episode, it has now been made official that Kalisha McLeod will be fighting home favorite Melissa McMorrow in Oakland, California on June 11th in an 8-round match. This will be the trilogy to a rubber match, leaving them... this is a rubber match in the trilogy, leaving them 1-1. Each one has won a fight against each other, and according to McLeod, she stated, "I'm willing and ready to make the trip anywhere to fight good opposition," and she will be fighting former two-time champion Melissa McMorrow. The bout marks the first time that McMorrow fights in the U.S. in 5 years and 7 years near her hometown of San Francisco. It's been 7 years that she's fought near her hometown in San Francisco, and the bout is scheduled at flyweight. So at least one of these three. Yeah, it is a sad statement. The thing is, in the Bay Area, there is a little bit of boxing. I've seen a little bit of boxing. I mean, we mentioned earlier Casey Morton and Raquel Miller, who fought in Richmond, who is nearby the Bay Area. But other than that, I mean, you don't see a lot of boxing up in that area. I mean, you might get it once or twice every 3 months, you know, and the biggest fight cards out there are the ones that are involving Andre Ward. So it might have been hard for Melissa McMorrow to get a fight date out there, no promoter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm glad that this Blueprint Boxing Forces, hopefully they start putting out some fights, and hopefully they start putting out some fights with these female fighters. So they got three of them in their on their stable now, so let's see what they do with them. And on June 11th, we'll be hearing about this Melissa McMorrow fight against Keisha McLeod Wells.
Oh, yeah,
that's very interesting.
At the 33rd, I know. At the 33rd annual IBF convention held in China this past week, Cecilia Breakhouse was named their Female Fighter of the Year. The Colombian-born Norwegian holds all the titles, the WBA, the WBC, the WBO, and the IBF. At welterweight, she looks to fight in Norway next, where the ban against boxing was lifted in 2014. It was first banned in 1981. So it's very interesting that Cecilia Breakhouse, universally considered the best pound-for-pound fighter, female fighter in the world right now, comes from a country or is based out of a country that for the last nearly 35 years, the sport of boxing has been banned. Where do they train? Do they have boxing gyms out there?
Well, there's not a lot of training. It's not allowed to have professional fights. So that's what the ban is. The ban was in England, the Philippines. I mean, you name it. There's a ton of places. There's a ton of women fighters all over. They just couldn't fight professionally where they lived.
Very true.
Was the ban just against female boxing or boxing in general in Norway?
I'm not sure,
to be honest with you, but it's not that uncommon to have just a ban against female professional fighting, but I'm not honest with I don't know for sure what it was. I'd have to look it up.
Yeah, I always remember when I first met Mariana, she had already been fighting in Mexico, but they were all underground fights because at the time Mexico banned female boxing too, which is ironic because now it's one
crazy,
of the biggest places. But in those days, she came over here to fight professionally and not have to do it underground. And I always thought that was ironic.
And to give some credit to Laura Serrano, that veteran Mexican fighter who was one of the
leaders
in lifting that ban in Mexico regarding female fighting. So a big shout out to her. Great woman. I got to meet her at the first WBC all-female convention, and she's a very nice lady. And you know,
very nice.
And you know, admirable for you know, putting her neck out there, especially in Mexico, where, you know, even though it is the, you know, one of the biggest female fight countries out there, I mean, there is a lot of machismo, and for this woman to try to stand up for their rights, I mean, a lot of the times it's not taken too lightly, and she was able to do it and was able to lift the ban, and all these female fighters now in Mexico owe a big debt of gratitude to Laura Serrano.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and she was a very good fighter.
Yeah, she was very talented in many ways, but, yeah, she was a great boxer.
It
like
was announced. Yeah, she fought. I think she fought what's her name? Christy Martin. Also, one of the really good fight between them, huh?
Yeah, Laura fought everybody.
Yeah,
always. She would have fought Larry Holmes if he would get in the ring.
With a letter, yeah. It was announced that Amanda Serrano, the WBO featherweight champion, will be defending her title against Diana Santana of the Dominican Republic on July 30th at the Barclays Center on the undercard of Leo Santa Cruz versus Carl Frampton. So there you have it, another major fight card that's going to be featuring a female fight. Amanda Serrano, based out of New York, obviously this fight card will take place at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. So the promoter's there. More than likely, Lou DiBella has his hand in there, being that he is the Amanda Serrano. Recognizing that not only will Amanda Serrano bring in, you know, somewhat of a crowd because she is well known and followed, but that she's going to bring some talent to the fight card as well in defending her title.
Yes, yes. She's fighting a decent girl. Diana Santana is a decent fighter.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's
see.
Hopefully, maybe. I mean, obviously, we won't be able to watch this fight on. Unfortunately, we won't be able to watch this fight on the televised card. But hopefully, they broadcast it on the internet. You know how they usually do, where they start broadcasting the fights on the internet, the undercard, and then they broadcast the main event on the TV. And lastly, on our female fight chatter, Mexican Nancy Chatita Franco will be challenging Jessica Tutti Bop on June 18th in Venezuela. The fight marks the second for the Argentinian since coming back from maternity leave. So Jessica Tutti Bop, after being out of the sport, one of the most popular fighters out there, after being out of the sport for nearly 2 years, she's jumping back on the soccer quite quickly. She fought at the near the end of April in her first fight back, and now she'll be having her second fight on June 18th against Nancy Chatita Franco.
Yeah, I got to give her a lot of credit because she's one of the few from Argentina that'll go outside of the country. Most of them just stay there, but she goes everywhere. She's very she has a lot of guts.
Well, this is the only second time that she leaves Argentina, David. So don't give her all that much credit. I mean, but
I thought it was the third. Did she fight two times in Mexico?
I think she only fought once. But let me check it real quick. But when she did end up leaving Argentina and fought in Mexico, she didn't joke around, and she went after the biggest Mexican name in her weight class, which was Kika Chavez.
Yeah,
but that is the only time I believe that she has ever left Argentina. I'm looking at her record right now. Oh, actually, no, you're right. Dang, David, you are the master. She did leave back in August. She actually fought Yesenia Martinez Castrejón in Mexico City as well. She won that in a unanimous decision. So you are absolutely right. I apologize. She actually has gone to Puerto Rico as well. So I apologize to you and to Jessica Tutipop for jumping to conclusion. So, but this fight being in Venezuela, it's practically her home, her backyard, and Nancy Franco coming in from Mexico. But we'll see. I mean, she has a very impressive record: 28 wins, 1 loss, 12 knockouts, and she's obviously held titles for the WBO, and I believe also. She actually tried to get a WBC silver title against Jessica Chavez and was unsuccessful. So maybe I think she is.
She's a superstar.
Yeah, she is a superstar. Now that she's campaigning at flyweight, maybe we get to see a rematch between her and Jessica Kika Chavez.
That would be a tremendous fight. Hopefully she fights one time in the U.S. at least. She's one of those girls that has a great personality. She knows how to work the media. I mean, she's all around. She's kind of like what Daisy Lang was explaining about being multi-talented and able to bring everybody together, because she can do it all. She can not only fight.
Yeah.
She is very feminine as well, as what Daisy was mentioning. So that's a plus for her as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that brings us to the end of our female fight chatter. Now we are in the last section of our show, the two-minute round. If you want to give us a call and discuss anything that we have covered so far, you can do that at 347-215-7598 here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. Again, the number is 347-215-7598. But our upcoming calendar, we have a lot more fights than we did in the last couple weeks. So starting tomorrow, Friday, June 3rd, from the Belasco Theater in Los Angeles, California, Golden Boy Promotions will be featuring on Estrella TV. David Avila will be in the house, so he's going to give us all the info on our next show. Siniestra Estrada from East Los Angeles will be facing Laredo, Texas, Cristina Fuentes in a six-rounder at super flyweight. The official weigh-in was held today. Cristina Fuentes came in a little bit over 113 pounds, where Siniestra Estrada came in at 111. So I don't know if that was actually the contracted weight, or Cristina came in a little heavy. But the fight is now at super flyweight, and it's a six rounder. And by the looks of it, it's the opener on Estrella TV, which will be the first time that a female fight will be featured on Estrella TV, as far as we know, that Golden Boy has been involved. And it's the first time in a while that Golden Boy Promotions has featured a female fight on one of their cards. I mean, I do remember Kalisha West winning her WBO bantamweight title on the undercard of Sergio Mora against Shane Mosley. And I think last episode we mentioned a couple other fights that happened at the StubHub Center that Golden Boy promoted. But
they did a show at the Hard Rock in Vegas with Melinda Cooper and Selena Salazar. That was the last one. That was
actually a very good fight.
That was 4 years ago.
So in 4 years. So this is the first time that in 4 years that Golden Boy Promotions considered, if not the biggest, promoter out there, and it's the second biggest, at least in the United States, between them and Top Rank. Would you agree, David and Elena?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And it's the first time in 4 years that they have they will be featuring a female fight. Top Rank, they don't, you can't even mention it to Top Rank. They don't even consider it. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what kind of fight is produced by Cines Estrada and Cristina Fuentes. Obviously, Estrada the favorite with 6 wins, 0 losses, 1 knockout, whereas Cristina Fuentes has 4 wins, 7 losses. And 2 draws, no knockouts. So we'll see if Estrada can finish it before the distance.
Well, I'm surprised because Cristina's, what, 4'11"? Cines is about 5'3", 5'2".
Yeah, I saw a picture a little bit of the face-off, and Cines does have a height advantage. So let's see if Cristina Fuentes can get inside. She's a lot more experienced. I mean, she has... 14 fights in her ledger versus Cinesa's 6. Obviously, Cinesa has a huge amateur background. So we'll see. We're going to be able to see tomorrow what goes down. Same night, tomorrow night, from the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida, Mayweather Promotions on Spike TV. But unfortunately, more than likely, this fight will not be televised. But LaTondra Jones is back on a Mayweather Promotions. She is the only fighter signed to Mayweather Promotions, female fighter. And she'll be taking on LaToya Burden in a 4-rounder at middleweight. I was able to catch her last fight on Facebook. They showed it live on Facebook, and she completely dominated the fighter that they faced her against. The female fighter, her opponent, didn't seem like she had a lot of experience, and LaTondra Jones scored a couple punches and was able to finish her off. So let's see what happens with this LaToya Burden. At middleweight, like we mentioned before when we talked about Raquel Miller, the weight class is not too populated, so it's I would assume that it's hard to get some good opponents until you start reaching the higher level of the category. So let's see her get some experience and see how she matches up against these bigger names in that weight class.
Yes, absolutely.
And this one will not be televised, but we may be able to watch it on the internet on GoFightLive.tv. But from the Resorts World Casino in Queens, New York, DeBella Entertainment will be featuring Alisa Napoleon versus Latasha Burden in an 8-rounder at Super Welterweight. Alisa Napoleon is one of the fighters of Brian Cohen. Was it Brian? Yes. Brian Cohen.
Yes.
And he mentioned to us in that interview last show that she's a huge, huge ticket seller. So she is going to be featured on this fight card, and hopefully there's a stream of it because it looks like it's going to be broadcast live on GoFightLive.tv. So if you guys get a chance, you can see it there.
Yeah, I think I will watch that fight.
Yeah, no,
I probably won't be able to.
Yeah, you'll be at another fight.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll catch
What
were you going to say, Elena?
Oh, no, it's really interesting. I've heard a little bit about her as a fighter, but it's just the fact that she sells so many tickets really makes you want to watch her fight.
Yes, that is.
I've seen some footage of her on social media, working the bag and stuff like that. And she knows what she's doing. She knows what she's doing. So it's I want to see her in a fight as well. So it's a matter of get up and trying to catch the stream.
Absolutely. Yes, we'll have to put it up, but I'll be watching for sure.
Now we'll be going to Saturday, June 4th in Belgium. The WBC current lightweight champion, Delphine Persoon, will be defending against Christina Linarda II in a 10-rounder. So we get to see the stream of that. We get to see one of the fighters that is considered the best in the world, and that is Delphine Persoon.
Yeah, she's fighting a girl from the Dominican, Linarda Cardu, Datu, I mean. But she only has 8 fights. She's 8-0, but the girls from the Dominican are usually pretty good.
They're very mobile. And moving on from the Gimnasio Usos Múltiples in Guadalajara, Mexico, Alondra Garcia will be facing Montserrat Alarcón in a 10-rounder for the vacant WBC Youth Light Flyweight title. This fight has been getting a little bit of traction in Mexico, being that both fighters have pretty good records, and it's the first time that they really step up and face somebody at the same level as them. You know, obviously, you know, being this young and being able to fight for the youth title, they're getting built up in a certain way. But now this is going to be a test for either one of them. We got Alondra Garcia with a record of 15 wins, 2 losses, 1 draw. Her losses coming to Victoria Argueta for the IBF World Female Strawweight title. So obviously that was a big fight for her. And then she ended up losing also to Naoko Shibata for the light flyweight title, the IBF. So her losses had come to world-class opposition, but now she's going to be facing Montserrat Alarcón, who is 7 wins, 2 losses, 2 draws, and her loss coming. Actually, they already fought. They fought back in May of 2014 with Alondra Garcia taking the win. So actually, well, a majority decision win. So this is actually a rematch of a previous fight. So let's see if Montserrat Alarcón has gotten any better.
Oh, okay, it's a battle between Guadalajara and Mexico City.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Also on the same night from the Oasis Hotel in Cancun, Promociones del Pueblo, and on Televisa, I'm pretty sure this fight is going to be broadcast in Mexico. Imar Garcia will be taking on Miriam Avila for the it's not a title fight, but Garcia is the former WBA bantamweight champion and current WBC international champion. So Irma Garcia, who I believe is a policewoman in her day job, will be taking on Miriam Avila in a. It actually wasn't mentioned how many rounds they were going to go, but I'm sure it's going to be televised because, you know, Mexico usually always televises the female fight.
That's really great.
And on June, the same night, Saturday, June 4th, from the Radisson Victoria Plaza in Montevideo, Uruguay, Cecilia Comunales will be taking on Valeria Rodriguez dos Santos from Brazil in a 10-rounder for the vacant WBA lightweight title. Cecilia Comunales, I believe she has held a title before, but her biggest claim to fame, in my opinion, is that she actually is managed or promoted by Samson Lekowitz, this guy, if you don't know who Samson Lekowitz is, look him up. He's found everybody. He actually discovered Manny Pacquiao, and he's discovered a bunch of other fighters, Sergio Martinez, and all kinds of different fighters. And he actually either promotes or manages Cecilia Comunales as well.
Wow. Yeah, he also managed Melinda Cooper for about a couple of years.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, she's fighting for the vacant WBA title, but it shows here that she's held it. She held it back in 2013. She held it. She won it in 2012 and defended it a couple times. I don't know if she was stripped from it or because she didn't defend it. And then she also is the vacant. She's also the WBC International Female Super Lightweight Champion, Cecilia Comunales, but now she's going again for the WBA Lightweight title. So, and against Rodriguez dos Santos, who holds a record of 6 wins, 4 losses, while Cecilia Comunales is 13-1 with 8 knockouts. Moving on to Monday, the June 6th, from the Korakuen Hall in Tokyo, Japan, Yuko Kuroki will be defending her WBC strawweight title against Norge Guro in a 10-rounder. This fight, we talked about it a couple episodes ago, where Norge Guro is a Filipino fighter who's coming off a couple of losses, and now she's getting the opportunity to defend against the WBC strawweight champion in Yuko Kuroki. So that fight is happening on Monday, June 6th, whereas on Friday, June 10th, from the Grange Leisure Center in Swindon, England, Kelly Morgan will be taking on Gifty Amanua Ankara in a 10-rounder for the vacant WBC silver middleweight title. And like I mentioned, we mentioned it a couple times on the show today already, and we talked about it in the past, that the bigger weight classes for females, you get your opportunity for a world title a lot quicker. With that being said, Kelly Morgan is only 3-0. So with the win here, and she's fighting in a 10-rounder. So with the win here, she at one point will have the right to challenge the WBC middleweight champion, Kelly Reese. So that's pretty interesting in its own part.
Well, I wonder if she had a large amateur career.
I hope so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and they tend to have them out in England a little bit. They do have somewhat of an amateur program out there, and it seems like women are being included in that. She's 3-0 with one knockout, and I can't even tell from the box rec if she's actually fought in a 10-rounder before. Whereas Gifty Amanua Ankara, who is from Accra, Ghana, she's four wins, four losses, one draw, two knockouts. So she has three times the amount of fights that Morgan does. So we'll see. We'll see who ends up winning this fight. And at one point, they're going to win the opportunity to face the middleweight champion, Kelly Reese, whether before or after she gets that, or she grants that rematch to Maria Cornejo, which they've been talking about.
Yes. Kelly Reese was supposed to come to L.A., she said. I don't know why. She didn't state the reason, but she said she was coming to L.A., maybe to visit the WBC.
Oh, wow. Well, that's good to know. Saturday, June 11th, the fight that we mentioned earlier today, Melissa McMorrow will be taking on Keisha McLeod-Wells in a flyweight eight-rounder in Oakland. On the same night from Colombia, Liliana Palmera will be taking on Mexican Jessica Gonzalez in a 10-rounder for the WBA Super Bantamweight title. Jessica Gonzalez has held an interim title at Bantamweight, so now she'll be going up to 122. And on Monday, June 13th, from the Kurakuen Hall in Tokyo, Japan, Naoko Fujioka will be facing Shindo Go, 10-rounder for the WBO Bantamweight title. That sounds like a pretty good
fight. That's a good fight.
And Nao Ikeyama will be facing Saemi Hangara in a 10-rounder for the WBO Atomweight title, the 102-pound title. If you guys are not familiar with that, in female boxing, the divisions don't stop or don't start with the strawweight title at 105 pounds. There's actually one more division. It's called the Atomweight title, the Atomweight division, and that one, the limit is 102 pounds.
Jeez.
Yeah, you don't hear too much from that division that too often, but there is that division. And I'm sure that a lot of these strawweight. Go ahead.
I wanted to get back to the Shindo Go fight because I was reading somewhere that Shindo Go is going to get into a sex transformation. And she wanted to, and the question was, can she fight as a guy or does she have to fight as a girl? And I was thinking, that's pretty interesting.
They have the same thing actually in MMA.
Excuse me?
They have that in MMA? But it was a guy who had a sex change into a female, and he was actually fighting females, and might still be to this day, but it's a... I read about it, and a lot of people know about it. I can't bring up the name now because I can't remember, but it is a female fighter who was once male, and he did have some knockouts. And the thing was, and so it's different, right, whether you start out. But the thing is, he started out as a male and went through puberty as a male, so he really had that testosterone his whole life. You have, maybe more of a bigger body type, like, bigger bone structure, maybe broader shoulders. So maybe they're saying that it was possible that he had more strength. But it's kind of interesting for someone who went through puberty as a female, maybe without all that testosterone, wanting to get in there and fight guys. I guess the biggest thing there is that we as females are always training with guys, so we're sparring guys constantly. But I think when you get to... So, of course, in the gym, there's a lot of guys that I even knocked out, right? I got hurt by guys, too. But there's a lot of guys that I could beat. But I think once I would have gotten to the top of, the best males at my weight class, I don't think I could have ever beaten them because they just had the strength that I didn't.
They really have that much of a strength advantage?
I believe so. I think, and it just comes down to testosterone, really, in the way that your body holds the muscle. And you know, as a female, we have breasts, right? We do have more fatty tissue on us, and so that is part of the weight. So I think once you get down to fighting the best, those things come to hand. And I think that's like the main differences between male and female is just that testosterone. And I've talked about that before.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Shindle Go is already a beast in the ring.
Yeah. Does she want to go against guys? I mean, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But wow.
She wants to fight guys.
I wonder if they will let her.
But that's
she's a beast.
That's the question. Yeah, the question there is, obviously she has the sex change. She's going to start taking testosterone. So how is that going to affect her body? And it's going to give her the strength that she needs to face men in the same weight class. Like Elena has mentioned, you know, men and women's bodies are different. So if you weigh as a female 112 pounds and a man weighs 112 pounds, the man is going to be stronger. You know, his body is going to be more muscle than a woman's body at that weight class. So, you know, I think
at
that could become
at the top level, it appears.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think that's something that could become very dangerous in this, you know, because if Shindo Go does get the sex change and she starts taking testosterone and her body can't produce the muscle, you know, like a man, and she ends up fighting a man at the same weight class, you know, a tragedy can happen, you know, just because of the strength.
Well, I think she would know going into it what she was faced against. I think her trainers would know. There's a lot of questions I would ask because you're not allowed to take testosterone, right, as a competing athlete.
Right.
So how does that work into
maybe
it?
Maybe she would get an exception, you know? I mean, they give out exceptions. I mean, I know there is exceptions in Nevada that they I forgot the name, the term of it. But they do give someone exceptions if medically you can prove that you need to take certain banned substances. So maybe she proves it by saying, "Hey, I had a sex change. I need to take it, or else you know my body isn't gonna react the way it should." And you know, who knows?
You just brought out another question. Is what about testing for women? Period on title fights. I don't think they do much testing for women.
PEDs and stuff like that?
For PEDs, yeah. I haven't seen too much testing for women title fights for PEDs.
Yeah, it's not something that there has been a lot of talk about. I know that there has been testing. I've seen it for certain fights in title fights. But I don't think that it's across the board, and I don't think that it's something that's spoken about too often. And you know, they do it for MMA, and MMA, some of the MMA fighters, female fighters, have come up positive for certain things. I mean, hopefully not, but you could only imagine that some female boxing or some female boxers, you know, maybe taking some stuff and they're not being tested.
What do you think, Elena?
I was under the assumption for title fights that we were getting tested for anything performance enhancing. I mean, I don't know exactly what they test for, and that's my own fault. You know, I should have looked, but I was under the impression that we did because we take P tests before and after for every title fight that you have. So I would imagine that they do, to be honest with you. But again, I don't know.
Well, I know they test for steroids, certain steroids, but the PEDs are so many that they don't have those kits, and they're kind of expensive.
They're expensive. You're right. So, you're right. I mean, that's like any athlete, right? I mean, all the Super Olympics and whatever athletes, they're always coming up with the bigger and the better thing that they can't find. So, I mean, that's always a question, I think, in any sport. So, I can't answer it. I just know that it is a big deal in all sports. I personally, people don't tell me a lot of things. when it comes to those things, because I never used it, and I definitely stayed away from those things. But I'm sure they're out there. You know, every athlete, male, female, you want to be your best. It's an easy fix. You think it's going to make you better. So I'm sure it's out there. I personally never saw it, but that doesn't mean much.
Yeah, I think
well, there you have
good.
It, folks. Yeah, I think so, too. And I think that, but, you know, the subject of PEDs in boxing is so, it's so controversial, as well as, you know, like you mentioned, Dave, there's so many different things that could come up and everything that, and you know, and female boxing being that it's such a niche part of the sport, and quite frankly, and that's why we do this show, it's a part of the sport that is somewhat kept in the shadows of boxing to a certain extent, at least in the United States. That nobody's really going to worry about females. Nobody's going to go through the trouble, spend the money, or really research if females are doping, because they want to get through what's going on with the male side of the boxing and fix that before they even try to fix the women's side.
Well, let me go ahead and say this: the female boxers probably can't even afford any of those things, so it probably isn't that big of a problem. So they're not getting paid. So I think it comes more of a problem when there is more money behind people, because there is more at stake.
Good point. Good point.
And also another thing, like, you know, a lot of female fighters out there, you know, it's very hard to figure out when they're going to have a next fight. You know, some of them don't have promoters. Some of them do. But even when they do have promoters, it's tough to know when their next fight is, where and when their next fight is coming. And if you're going to be using PEDs, as far as I know, I'm not an expert on it, but you start some kind of cycle and do it for a certain amount of time before your fight. And when you don't know if you're going to fight or not, you know, they probably don't even have a chance to even get started.
True.
Yeah, again, I have no idea. I have so much non-knowledge of the subject that I just don't even feel like I could talk about it, because I have no idea how that works.
I was pretty good at pointing out suspected juices. I could look at a person's body and I could tell that something is different.
Steroids.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm almost always right. Almost always right.
Yeah.
And I've done it so many times that now I just look at a person and go, oh, that guy's juiced. Or I've even seen women that are juiced. Not too many, but I've seen some.
Yeah, it happens.
Maybe the commission should hire you, David, and just be there at the weigh-in. And then
absolutely. It'd
be a lot cheaper than that blood test. A
lot cheaper. Hire me.
Exactly. All right, guys. Well, we reached the end of another episode of the 2-Minute Round, your hooks and jabs look at the female fight world. This is number 6 here on the Leave It in the Ring Network. Any closing thoughts, Elena?
You know, just the thing I've been thinking about kind of the whole time we've been talking is that it's so funny to me, because we talked about, like, the old days and how females, we were so, like, it was kind of the golden era of female boxing, right? Even though it wasn't that great for us in the U.S., but it was much more popular. But I hear you talking, and I just feel like with the amateur rankings, there's so many females around the world, like, not around the world, Asia, Europe, I mean, Australia, everywhere, that I feel like, you know, that something is going to happen. I feel like we're on the verge, and I feel positive, and it's just great to hear, like, all these names and all these fights happening. So I just leave this show being really positive for a great future for the female athletes out there.
You know, and by compiling the fight schedules and the upcoming fights and the past fights, I mean, there is a lot of female boxing all throughout the world. It's just that here in the United States, it's not in the forefront. And hopefully tomorrow, with Golden Boy putting on Sinesa Estrada against Cristina Fuentes, that's a step in the right direction. Hopefully with the coming Olympics in the summer, there's going to be some female boxing there as well. Hopefully they get a little bit of TV time. Who knows if they do better than the male side? Who knows? They might show them on TV. Who knows what's going on with the IABA, with the whole pros against amateur thing, and if female pro fighters are going to join in? We don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of months before the Olympics. But hopefully, like you say, Elena, we start getting a spotlight shown on the female fight world, and hopefully get started to get broadcast more here in the United States.
Absolutely.
Yes, I agree with what Lena said and what Daisy Lang said earlier. You know, so many positive people keep going in the same direction. Something's bound to happen.
Yes.
Exactly. And that's what we try to do here on the 2 Minute Round. And let's close that with that positive attitude, David, and say goodbye. And we'll be here in 2 weeks, which will be June. Do you know the date, David?
It'll be June 16th.
June 16th. And we hope to hear your ringside report on that fight that's going on tomorrow at the Belasco Theater. So with that said, we bid you good night.
Good night.